Well, good morning, Lighthouse, and all of you who are joining us. If you're in the Philippines or in the US or you're in Europe, here in Hong Kong, we are in the midst of a Typhoon 8. And so it feels a little bit, unfortunately, like COVID times again when we could only meet online. But here we are, and the Lord is with us. So I want us to look for just a short while this morning at a psalm that we know very well. It's going to be Psalm 91. So please grab your Bibles. We'll have scriptures on screen. But I think you'll get a lot more from it if you're looking at the word that you have in front of you as well. Let me pray for us as we get started this morning. God, here we are. And Lord, though we are separated physically, we're not together in person. You have promised in your word that you are with us always. And so, Lord, as we meet together online, and Lord, as we look at your word together, we do ask that by your Spirit that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us, that you would tell us the things that we need to hear. I pray you keep each one of us safe, and Lord, bring us back together again next Sunday. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, so you've grabbed your Bibles. We're going to look at Psalm 91 this morning. I've got my notes in front of me, so I might be looking down quite a bit, but hope you can see anyhow. Last week we began the topic of This is War, and Psalm 91 was on my heart anyhow, but I've prepared it especially for our time together this morning. And as we talked about it last week, we looked at the enemy that we have, but we also read the verses in God's word that assure us that victory is assured because of what Jesus has done. And so this morning, for a few minutes, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to look at Psalm 91. This is a psalm that is familiar to many of us. Some of us have it memorized. In fact, a few years ago, as Mom's eyesight began to get worse, and after her situation had changed and Dad was gone, she asked, and we printed out Psalm 91 in King James in a very, very large text, and we posted it on her wall so that she could read it and then memorize it. And to this day, Mom still often quotes either the whole psalm or different verses from Psalm 91. And so as we look at our Bibles, we look at the scripture this morning. We're just going to read the psalm first, and we're not going to look at everything. We'll come back to this at another time, but I want us to read Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, most of it is written in second person, you, or third person, he. And what I'm going to encourage you to do as you read it, or as we read it together, that you put this in the first person, because it is first person. God is speaking to you. God is talking to you. God is assuring you that he is your defender and he is your protector. He is my defender and he's my protector. So Psalm 91 and NIV. And so you've got the scripture there on the screen. If you'd like to join with me as we read together this morning. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? It encourages me. I read this psalm often as well, and I pray it over my own life, and I pray it over the lives of loved ones as well. And so as we look at this today, this is a brief message this morning. I want us to look just at a few things, not at everything. We'll come back to this at another time. And I want to just highlight a few points. Who is the one who defends us? Who is our protector? It's great to have someone to say, I've got your back. I'll defend you. I'll protect you. But what's important is who is the one that says that? Because sometimes people say that to us and they fall short on what they say they will do. Or sometimes people say, well, I'll defend you. I've got your back. And they're not able to. And so it helps us this morning to look at the one who says, I am your defender and I am your protector. Let's look at look at verse 1 and verse 2, and let's look at that together. And then we're going to look at, as some of you or as many of you may know, in these first two verses, we have four names of God, and they're all his personal names, and they all describe our defender and our protector in one way, or another. And so in verse 1, we read, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So here's our God, who is our defender and our protector, and he inspired four different names in these two verses so that we might know and understand and be assured of the one who is our defender and protector. So here's the first one. The first one is what? Most High. That shows up in the first verse, Most High. And it helps us if we know what it is in Hebrew. And the first name, Most High, is the Hebrew name for God, El Elyon. And this name was first found, God first revealed himself this way to Abraham. And it's the story's found in Genesis 14. We're not going to look at the story, but you can look on your own later. And in Genesis 14, Abraham and men from his household, his personal servants, armed themselves and went after four mighty kings and their army, who had taken people hostage and had taken his nephew Lot hostage as well. And Abraham goes after them. God gives him victory. And as he comes back, Melchizedek comes out, the high priest of God Most High, and offers bread and wine. And this is the name of God that is first read and first seen here. And this name, El Elyon, means of all the kings, he's the highest king. Of all the rulers, he's the highest ruler. God is over all. Isn't it comforting and encouraging to know that when an enemy rises up against you, there's no one greater than God who is for you and who is your defender? That's the Most High, El Elyon. And then secondly, the second name is the Almighty. And the Almighty is El Shaddai. A lot of us are familiar with that name. And this is the all-sufficient God who's adequate for every situation. God used this name and revealed himself in this way, again to Abraham, and it's found in Genesis 17. And this is when God appeared to Abraham and Sarah, two old people who had hoped for a child and had never been able to conceive. Both of them were past the ability to produce life from their own bodies. God, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God in every circumstance, said to them, "In a year, you will have a child." Let that encourage you this morning, whatever situation you're facing, and you think, I don't have the resources. This is impossible. Your God, El Shaddai, who is all-sufficient, is fighting for you. What's the third name? Lord. And this is the word that we know very well, Jehovah. And Jehovah is the name that God uses to emphasize that he is a God who makes covenants with his people, covenants that he will keep, covenants that come first from him. It's not that we ask him, but it is that God comes to us and he says, "I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make an agreement with you. And it's based on who I am. And it's based on my love for you, which is an everlasting and an undying love." And so this is part of the name, Lord Jehovah, the covenant-making God who is faithful to his promises to you. And then the final name of God in these first two verses is the word, is the name God, and it's the name Elohim. This is the first way in the very beginning in Genesis that God shows himself to mankind that he has created when he says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This is the powerful God whose greatness and glory surpass anything we can imagine, a God of love. And so this is the one, the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, the God, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Elohim, who is our defender. Now let's add one more, let's add another part to that, okay? Look at verse 14 with me now. Let me read it again. In verse 14, he says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Now, God is who he says he is, regardless of what we know about him or what we don't know about him, regardless of what we believe about him or don't believe about him. But here, when God says, "Because he knows my name," that's verse 14, and in verses 1 and 2, we had all these names of God. And then God says, because you know my name. That word "know" means he acknowledges my name. He's acquainted with, not casually, but you know the name of God. You know who God is. You know what he is like. And when you know the name of God, when you know God is really what it means and what he is like, then I know that this is how God relates to me. In scary, frightening, dangerous, uncertain circumstances and times in my life, this is the God. This is God. This is what he's like, and he's for me. And then fear, which is one of the devil's most effective weapons, has no power to shake you, has no power to shake me, because this is the God we know. Now, let me ask you another question. Look at this again. In what way do you and I have access to our God, our Most High, Almighty Lord God? Okay, let me ask you an unusual question. Look at the address of the person in Psalm 91. Look at your address, if you will. Where do you live? Well, we find it in verses 1 and 2 and 9 and 10. So look at it with me. This person, and I hope we have two addresses. One of the places he lives is his tent. In other words, that's where he makes his dwelling. The other place he lives is in his Lord. Or to put it another way, close fellowship with the Lord is his home. Let me ask you something this morning. Is close fellowship with the Lord your home? This is when we are under his shelter. This is when we are in his shadow And we rest in that. We're not worried in that. We're not fretting. We're not anxious. That's where we rest. Isn't it wonderful to have a home that is a peaceful home? Oh, may the Lord give each one of that, that our homes are our refuge. Well, God wants us to know that when we make our homes in Him, then we have peace in that as well. We are safe there. We are free from danger. We are free from the enemy when our tent, when our dwelling is the Lord. So I want to reassure you in that today. God is never too busy for you. He is never too occupied with bigger things or more important people. He delights and He desires that you make your home close enough to Him that He shelters you and shadows you at all times, and especially in the times when you need Him. And that time for some of us is this morning, and it's right now. Get close to God and make your home in Him. Now let's look at a couple other verses. And I want to talk about I want to highlight the protection of wings and weapons. Here are these two words that are very, very different. And yet the psalmist, the writer of this psalm or song or prayer, uses both of these words together. Look at verse 2 and then verse 4. It's on the screen. And he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Those are strong words. And then verse 4, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. Those are gentle and motherly and warming words, aren't they? And then he says, His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Again, really strong words. So let's look at this very, very briefly. Here are the strong words, the protection of weapons. He is a refuge, a fortress, a shield, a rampart. Don't be fooled by this tender picture of God like a mother hen that gathers chicks underneath her wings for protection. There is protection there, and that's very heartwarming and gentle. But don't be fooled. He is powerful on your behalf. Let's look at these four words. He's a refuge, and a refuge is a safe place. He is a fortress. Fortress is a strong place. He is a shield. This is not a small shield that we sometimes see in movies. This was a shield, and it's used throughout the Bible in various places. This is a shield that fully covers the body. It's not just, just held on the arm. It fully covered the front of the person, and it completely blocks the attack of any enemy. God said this in Genesis 15:1 to Abraham, and he appears to Abraham. Abraham has just made big enemies. He's living in hostile territory that's not his own, and he has just defeated four kings and their armies. And there he is. He's on his own with his household. And that's when God appears to him, Genesis 15:1. And he says to Abraham, or Abram as he is still called at that time, Abraham, I am your shield and your very great reward. Exactly the same word, Genesis 15 and here in Psalm 91. I'm your shield and your great reward. So that's a strong word for us. And then he says, rampart, that's the fourth word. The rampart is something that surrounds the castle or the fortress. And it was usually a great mound of earth, of dirt, that was built up, and it went all the way around the fortress. The Hebrew word that's used here literally means to go around. And so you have these strong, powerful, warlike words put together with these gentle and very mothering words of God. But both of these weapons on both sides describes our God in our time of need. Now I want to add one more verse to this, and it's in verse 14. Look at it. It says in verse 14, because He loves me, by the way, put your name there, because you love me, because Jennifer loves me, because John loves me, because Eileen loves me, says the Lord, because Ida, because mercy, because Herna, because Jenalyn, because they love me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he or she acknowledges my name. And the word here, protect, is really a beautiful word. This word protect literally means to raise someone up to a high, secure place. Who is your defender and who is your protector? This God, your God. Now, very briefly, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here. We'll talk about this more in the future. Look at your enemy, our enemy, and our opposition. Now, we know we have an enemy, and we know who he is. Let's see how he's described and how his attacks are described in Psalm 91. And I love it because who the enemy is and how he attacks us are all put into context of our great God and how he defends us and how he protects us. We find it in verses 3, 5, and 6. Okay, here we go. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Look at these, and I've highlighted them, and they're here on our screen. And I find it really enlightening and eye-opening that in Psalm 91, our enemy is described in this way. He can be described in many ways, but I think all of these point to sort of the same thing, if you will. A fowler is a bird catcher, a hunter of birds, okay? So a fowler's snare is someone who catches birds in a trap or in a hidden net. Now, what does that say to us about how the enemy tries to attack us? He lays a trap for us that we don't see until it's too late, and then we're caught up in the trap of the enemy. But our God says he will keep us from the attack and the trap of the enemy that we can't see. But he can, and so he keeps us. What's the next one? The deadly pestilence. A disease. We don't see disease, do we? It's a disease that you don't see. And I was thinking back to that. All of us remember COVID times not that long ago. And just the fear, right? The fear that just filled our society almost everywhere, especially in the early days of COVID when we didn't really know how does it spread? Is there any protection against it? Some of us are a little bit older, and here in Hong Kong, we remember SARS, which in many ways, although shorter duration, was even worse because so little was known about it, and it was really deadly in Hong Kong. And I still remember the fear that so many of us had about this deadly pestilence. What else? What is next? The terror of night. Hey, I want to ask you something. How many of you, especially when you were younger or you're a child, I don't want to ask you about now, but you were afraid of the dark, at least a little bit afraid of the dark. I think probably most of us were, weren't we? In one way or another. And even now as adults, we couldn't see anything in the dark, but still. When it says terror of night, I think about how we are as adults. Even just a few days ago, you know, our plan to bring mom over, back over here, I was thinking about, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was thinking, I have to do this. Well, what about this? And what about this? And I was just filled with anxiety. And I was half asleep. Nevertheless, I was filled with anxiety. And I'm so glad the Lord helped me, because half asleep, I managed to kind of croak out, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And then I went back to sleep. But, you know, our fears and our what ifs are so magnified at night, aren't they? And God says, make me your home and fear will not be your enemy by night. What else? The arrow by day, a long distance weapon that we don't hear and we don't see until it hits us, until it hits the target. And God says, I'm going to protect you from that. The enemy is shooting against you and you don't even know it, but I'm going to protect you. The pestilence that stalks in the darkness. That one's really malevolent, isn't it? It seems so personal. It's like it's out to get you. But God says, you'll be okay. I will keep you from that. And then the plague that destroys by midday. Disease spreads day or night, doesn't it? Again, it's unseen until it's too late. So we're encouraged as we come to a close this morning. All of these dangers, it struck me, all of these operate in fear, in what is unseen. And we feel helpless and we feel powerless. We can't see them, so how can we defend against them? And our God steps into the middle of this and he says, I see them. I will defend you against them. I'll protect you and I'll keep you. Don't be afraid. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to skip over some of these other verses. They're offensive verses. We're going to come to that another time. But you'll be encouraged if you read these other verses, because God says you will tread on the cobra and on the lion. Well, who are cobras and lions? Well, we know who they are, don't we? You will tread on the enemy. Be encouraged by that. We'll come back to that at another time. But let's close with verses, the final verses of Psalm 91. 14, 15, and 16. He says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I hope you put your name in the place of him in those verses, because that is what God means. Because, insert your name, loves me, says the Lord. By the way, this is a special word, love, that's used here. It's not the word that we usually associate and think of with when we say love. But this word love means to cling to hold closely. And that reminds us again, when we make our home in him, not just run to him when we have trouble, but we dwell with him, we're in fellowship with him on a consistent basis. And as you love the Lord, and as you cling to him, and as you hold closely, and as you make your home with him, God says to you, I will rescue you. I will protect you. For you know my name. You will call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. I will satisfy you with long life and I will show you my salvation. That's our covenant keeping God. He is the one who is our defender and our protector. May God bless you. May God bless each one of us. May we be encouraged by these true words from God, our defender. God bless you. I will see you next Sunday morning. Amen. God bless.